Welcome to Addressing Alaskans, where we feature community conversations around South Central Alaska. Join us on Alaska Public Media as we travel throughout our community and listen to local groups discuss what matters to them. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Ammon Swenson. Today's episode features the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce's annual report and an update from the Alliance to Activate Anchorage, a partnership of local economic organizations whose mission is to improve stability and grow the community in the city. This program was part of the Chamber's Make It Monday forum and luncheon. It was recorded on December 16th at the Denina Center. Anchorage Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Kathleen McArdle will present the Chamber's mission, discuss what they've accomplished in the past year, and preview upcoming events. We'll also hear from representatives from Visit Anchorage, the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, and the Anchorage Downtown Partnership. You'll hear the occasional sounds of silverware and dishes throughout the program. Event moderator Dan Newman speaks next.
Well, welcome to the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce Make It Monday Forum. My name is Dan Newman. I am the CEO, founder, and principal auctioneer of Alaska Premier Auctions and Appraisals and chair of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. Before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge that we gather today on the traditional lands of the Denina Athabascans. For thousands of years, the Denina have been and continue to be the stewards of this land. It is with gratitude and respect that we recognize the contributions, innovations, and contemporary perspectives of the Upper Cook Inlet Denina. Thank you. Now, to introduce our head table. To my right is Jenna Wright, President and CEO of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. To her right is Julie Soppy, President and CEO of Visit Anchorage. And to her right, Kathleen McArdle, President and CEO of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. Today, the Anchorage Chamber will present their annual report to membership, followed by an update from the Alliance to Activate Anchorage. Before we get into today's panel, Kathleen McArdle, President and CEO of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, will present our annual report to membership. Kathleen joined the Anchorage Chamber as President and CEO in October of 2023 after 10 years in working Alaska with Verizon. Kathleen brings dual academic qualifications, first earning a Master's of Science in Counseling Psychology and later returning to graduate school for an MBA. Prior to Verizon, she practiced counseling as a licensed therapist with individuals and groups in clinical settings. Raised by entrepreneurial parents, she was exposed early on to the realities of small business ownership and the value of resilience and creativity. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you all for being here today. Very excited to present our report to membership. It felt like a great opportunity when the date opened up, and then especially to share the day with some of our business partners from across the city. So what I'd like to start with is the mission of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, and it is to advance a successful business climate by attending to the civic, economic, and cultural betterment of our community. I've been going to some training and professional development for chambers of commerce across the country this year as part of my getting acquainted with the role after beginning in October. Last year. And what they say is if you've met one chamber of commerce, you've met one chamber of commerce. They're all completely different with slight variations on mission. And so just want to give you an introduction to what ours is. We accomplish this mission and vision through three action areas, and those are advocacy, connectivity, and education. Some of those things we'll touch on throughout the rest of the presentation. But all of our activities and events usually generate either one to three of those things. Make It Mondays sometimes incorporate all three of those. We got to do some educational content, the opportunity to connect a network, and present potentially on an issue that requires some advocacy and support from our community. So we've got an incredible group of individuals behind the scene that contribute to our governance. They're all composed of members, some ex officio positions, but it's a really important part of our organization. We have an incredibly engaged and active board, and they contribute so much from idea generation to, assisting with goal setting and support and encouragement as needed. And then these are our current officers for the next fiscal year. You've seen we've got Dan Newman as our chair. Thank you again for moderating today. Denisha Shirayev is currently our chair-elect, so would serve in the upcoming fiscal year. Sharon Patrick here today as elected as the vice chair, and Barbara Amy is our secretary and treasurer. We wouldn't be anything without our members. Membership dues compose about 50% of our budget, and such an important part of our community. They're all representative of folks who, are invested in Anchorage, in the business success and climate of our community. We have about 761 members at the close of the fiscal year. Over the last year, we brought in about 122 new members, so thank you to all of those. If you are a frequent flyer to our Make It Mondays, you typically hear about who our new members are, and it's an incredible diverse cross-section of our community. The top business categories are service providers, sort of far above and beyond. But next, somewhat surprisingly, is nonprofit organizations and associations. That's not always true for all chambers of commerce, as mentioned earlier. But in our community, we have one of the largest nonprofit organizations per capita in the nation, and they have business goals and priorities as well, and our mission and vision aligns with those, and we're always excited and proud to have their support as well. Speaking of our committed members, we're so honored and humbled to have the loyal support of our chamber-level investors, and these are groups that contribute at the highest level. So this is a very committed group. I know we've got representation from some of these organizations in the room, and we just couldn't be what we are without the contributions that they make toward our programs. Our communications are one of our most important deliverables, the ways people interact with information and education. If you're not able to actually come to our event, the communications channels are the next best thing on how we are able to get information shared across the community. So our webpage is very active. We had almost a 250,000 page for our events. Event page views were almost 250,000 clicks this year. Directory surges even higher, and so if you're a member, your business is listed in our directory, and it's one of the most valuable resources you have. And then job searches, I would say we've got some room to grow on understanding the value of adding a job search for your organization to our board. I know it's just sort of a missed opportunity for some, but it is also an incredibly valuable resource to share amongst membership and externally. So our most visited pages are, of course, the home screen, the events calendar. This is for our chamber events, but also our member events. So another way to share information, find out what's going on, and get engaged in the community. And then citywide cleanup. And I've got more information on this too, but that is such a popular program for our community, and I'm really proud that it's part of the Chamber of Commerce's programs. Our e-news, I know so many people get it, and thank very robust thanks to Tasha for putting that together every week because it's such an informative resource. But we've got over 5,000 subscribers, and all of our emails have a pretty robust click rate as well. So thank you in advance for reading them when we send them. That's a metric that tells us that information is valued when we share it. We've got a ton of really active committees that are part of our programs. So these are groups that are typically led by some of our board members and then composed of different members or external community partners that help in achieving the mission of this work. This is sort of where the rubber meets the road, and we actually get action-oriented steps toward implementing our mission and vision. So our Ambassador Council is our member champions. Over the last year, they had 83 new member visits. We've got over 20 active volunteers in this group, and they also provide our quarterly membership orientation. It's free, and we provide lunch, and also it's very informative. Dan does a great job, by the way, of doing education and making sure folks get what they need. We also have our military committee. You'll hear more later, but upcoming we've got Bowl-a-thon and then our appreciation picnic in the summer. So those last year were very, made a great impact to that community. And we were able to also set up a meeting on site for our military committee with the J-Bear Command leadership. And this year we did decide to join the Association of Defense Communities and was able to go to an installation innovation conference with some of our board members to understand better how to do, how to act on community engagement with the military perspective and make sure that that's a robust and committed relationship. Our diversity committee is very integral in making sure that businesses are well represented within our membership, and the actions that we take are supplemental to them as well. Some of the events we supported through that committee were last year's Black Business Expo and the Pride Festival. They're committed to making sure our board is representative of the community across Anchorage. We also receive lots of community presentations. So if you have an opportunity to attend those or be a presenter, that's something that's always really valuable to us. Our Municipal Activity Committee is dedicated to advocacy at the municipal level. They're the ones who help organize our candidate forums, State of the City address, and was particularly active in Ballot Measure 1 and the recent advocacy and education we helped to provide for that community, which is us. Our legislative committee organizes our advocacy survey and our Juno fly-in. The advocacy survey is open now, so a reminder to please complete that. We do record one of those per member only, so you can do some negotiating per within your organization on who's going to be the voice or submit it collaboratively, but that's just a very important touch point to understand what our priorities should be into the coming year as we plan for our fly into Juneau. They also have helped us in coordinating 10 letters of support for different legislative actions over the last fiscal year and helped to present a Make It Monday that was a legislative update from Senator Sullivan. We had a Port of Alaska committee over the last year. They made sure to focus on the modernization projects as a priority and held quarterly meetings, even kind of culminating in a tour behind the scenes of one of Mattson's ships and all the important parts about the port and all the logistics impacts they have. It's just so impressive when you see behind the scenes at how much goes through there and how much we rely on the port for the food that we eat, the clothes on our backs, you know, all of those things are just so pivotal, and it's such an important part of our community. The board did move to retire that committee, just given the progress that's been made. However, we are always continually receiving briefings and updates on what additional advocacy or action might be required, just not meeting regularly as a committee. The Anchorage Athena Society is a Women in Business Leadership Awards ceremony. Nominations will be open in early January. If you've got some fantastic women business leaders in mind to nominate, if you're not sure who's already included, you can go to athenaanchorage.org, and that has the directory of all the amazing, incredible Athenas who are just really powerhouses across our community. I know we've got some of them joined with us today, so congratulations again to them. The Athena Awards luncheon is also a fundraiser that helps send high schoolers across Anchorage to a business camp where they can get some additional knowledge and learn in real life experience on what it takes from entrepreneurialism. This year they were able to send 6 students, and I got to hear some of their presentations about what they learned and what their projects were, and they were just so inspiring and well-spoken, and I know I wasn't always as comfortable getting up and speaking to a room full of people, and so to only imagine these high schoolers being able to accomplish that is really breathtaking. We also have our Young Professionals group, which is really that's how I got started, honestly, with the Chamber of Commerce, is when I was on the member side, is participating in the Young Professionals, joining the e-board, and it's such an active group, very dynamic, and there's such a lot wealth of opportunity for development. So if you've got younger folks at your organizations or you yourself, is just looking for something additional to connect to and be active with, I just can't recommend it more. But on top of all their amazing accomplishments, they did celebrate their 10-year anniversary this year. Yes. Several founders, I think, are in the room too. So thank you guys again. Dan again early on, I know. Sky, yeah, you guys are awesome. I think Ryan too. Ryan's around here. There she is. Yeah, you guys are awesome. And it's just such a milestone and a testament to what Anchorage needs, but then also 10 years later to see those folks really be the next generation and business leaders in their own right today. Also wanted to touch on our Gold Pan Awards. This year, this last November, was our 67th annual, so that's quite a long celebrated award ceremony, really just highlighting and elevating entrepreneurial business excellence, community service, nonprofit, and then an opportunity to highlight some of our fantastic volunteers as well. Citywide cleanup, as I mentioned, has been going on for 57 years. This last season captured 189 tons of bagged waste. So that's just what's come through with the orange bags. And then also through the dump days that are allocated, it was 113 tons. So those have a very real and substantial outcome to improving our community. And really just, you know, the whole, all of Anchorage locks arms around community cleanup. You know, the snow melts, everything is visible. the whole winter's worth of history just becomes to light, and it's an opportunity to clean ourselves up and put on a fresh face for the summer season. And then I did want to call out, we have a brand new event for the upcoming year, and I know this is sort of a backward-looking, but an opportunity to speak to the future as well. So we did, our board did vote to include the National Civics Bee as a new program for this year. If you had seen this in the news at all, this was the first year there was a national competition. Alaska State Chamber stood up a statewide organization, and the winners of that progressed. I think one winner went had a trip to D.C. to compete nationally. There was 27 states that participated this year in the sort of inaugural national, and a young gal from Romig, Emily B., actually was the winner nationally. She won $100,000, 529. So that's really just going to help her transform her educational future. So this is for middle school students. So any student grades 6 through 8 does not need to be attending a traditional school. They'll be eligible to submit an essay that is their entry. And judges will decide, and we'll have 20 students across Anchorage competing in April that will, and of that we'll send, I think it's the top three to the state that again, Alaska State Chamber will host. And then another Alaska winner will progress to nationals, and we'll see if we'll make it a sweep. And that is sort of all that I have. This has really been an incredible honor to serve as president and CEO of this organization. I'm so blessed to have developed deep relationships with all of you, all these folks on this stage, and we'll hear more about some of those community partnerships as we continue. The obligation I have to tell you about today is our last audit report, and it was a good, clean audit for 2023, and we're in the middle of a review for this most recent fiscal year. So all of that is going well, good stewardship of the organization. I have my hat off to the previous president and CEO, Bruce, and the staff for, you know, making sure everything's in tip-top shape operationally. So that's our report to membership. So thank you so much. Back to Dan.
You're listening to Addressing Alaskans on Alaska Public Media. Today's program features the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce's annual report and updates from the Alliance to Activate Anchorage, a partnership of local economic organizations working to improve stability and grow the community in the city. You're listening to Addressing Alaskans on Alaska Public Media. Today's program features the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce's annual report and updates from the Alliance to Activate Anchorage, a partnership of local economic organizations working to improve stability and grow the community in the city. Moderator Dan Newman speaks next.
Thank you very much for that report, Kathleen. Now for our main presentation. The Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, Visit Anchorage, the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, and the Anchorage Downtown Partnership have come together to form the Alliance to Activate Anchorage, or better known as AAA, a non-binding, consensus-driven coalition on economic and workforce goals to improve stability and activate growth in the community. AAA is comprised of two board representatives from each organization who further strengthen the connections that already exist at the executive and staff level. The respective organizations have many shared goals that are vital to the stability and future of Anchorage, and their combined membership represents a significant portion of Anchorage's business, workforce, and economic activities across all sectors. The coalition plans and coordinates common action, better leveraging resources, supporting local businesses, and actively pursuing economic opportunities, which allow the groups to better advocate for growth and opportunities for the community. First, let me introduce our presenters, starting with Julie Soppy. She has been with Visit Anchorage for the past 22 years, the last 17 of those as president and CEO. Visit Anchorage works to create value for Anchorage's residents through the visitor economy. Before joining the team at Visit Anchorage, Soppy held executive, marketing, and membership positions with the Matsu CVB, Alaska Visitors Association, and the Alaska Chamber of Commerce. She feels fortunate to have stumbled into her tourism career as a high school sophomore when she was hired to provide walking tours of downtown Fairbanks for their convention and visitors bureau. She holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in economics and business, with a marketing emphasis, from the University of Puget Sound in Tacoma, Washington. Soppy is named one of Alaska's top 40 under 40, serves on several local, regional, and national boards, including the One West Tourism Alliance Foundation and Destination International's Destination Marketing Accreditation Program Board. She and her husband Steve live near downtown and have always had at least one dog and one cat in their household. Next up, Jenna Wright is the president and CEO of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, where she is responsible for managing and supporting the successful deployment of strategies, programs, and initiatives that promote the growth of the Anchorage economy with the goal of making Anchorage one of the top mid-sized cities in America to live, work, and play. Jenna earned her bachelor's degree in marketing and investment finance from the University of Alaska Anchorage, as well as a master's of business administration with an emphasis in business intelligence and data analytics. After graduating with her MBA, Wright worked as the director of business operations for a microcom and later joined the State of Alaska leadership team as the deputy director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Jenna is currently a board member of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, the Anchorage Downtown Partnership, Visit Anchorage, the UAA College of Business and Public Policy's Business Advisory Board, and the Anchorage School District's Academy's Steering Committees. Now, I'd like to hand it over to Julie, if you'd like to come on up.
Thank you, Dan, and I'm still getting my head around that YPG is 10 years old because when it was introduced, I was already aged out, and now it's like, wow, I'm having an age-related moment. But thank you. I know. You always say you're still invited, but it's my pleasure to be here today to talk a little bit about Visit Anchorage and to share the panel with some very fun and respected colleagues up here. It's been fun having some transition in the industry and keeping AAA going. We should give credit to Bill Popp. This was kind of his idea many years ago, and he got us all on board, some of us kicking and screaming for a bit, and then we are 100% in, and then he left us. So... So I'm going to just talk a little bit about Visit Anchorage and the work that we do. Like others up here, we are a not-for-profit, 501c6, membership-based organization, and we've been doing this work since 1975. We hold two contracts with the municipality of Anchorage. One of the bullet points up there, you see, we were contracted to do tourism promotion for the municipality of Anchorage. So our tourism promotion efforts go all the way from Portage, you know, all the way up to Eklutna. So it's not just Anchorage, although we speak about Anchorage in our marketing. We're definitely well representing Girdwood and north to Eklutna, Chugach, Eagle River, all of the communities within the municipality. We also have a separate contract with the municipality for management and oversight of this building that you're in, as well as the Egan Center. And people will ask, you know, is that a typical arrangement? Does the Convention and Visitors Bureau, Destination Marketing Organization, in other communities, is that typical that they'll operate the visitor center or the convention centers? And it's some cases yes, some cases no. So it's not unusual, but it also is not usual. So here it was important for a Visit Anchorage when the Dena'ina Center opened. We asked to have that contract with the municipality for a couple of reasons. One is we are the marketing arm for the city, and a lot of the marketing work that we do and the sales work we do is specific to inviting meetings and conventions to Anchorage. And we wanted to make sure that we had some say and some control over the quality of what we're selling. We wanted to be able to bring meeting planners into this building, into the Egan Center, and say, they look good now, and in 5 years when you bring your meeting, they also will look good then. It's our promise to you. So we wanted some control over the quality of the centers that we sell into. It was also important to us from a booking perspective. We wanted to make sure that we had control over the booking calendar. What we have heard happens in other places is you have, say, a local group that has a breakfast, that has a luncheon, that has a two-hour meeting, and that meeting prevents a four-day convention from moving into the centers, from booking your city. And so anything that's longer than 12 months out, we have control of that calendar at Visit Anchorage. So our sales staff can confidently say, yes, we'll have those dates available for you. Anything shorter than 12 months, the convention center is able to book those, you know, more of the local events, the ongoing luncheons like the Chamber of Commerce, like our own luncheons. Once in a while, we're kicked out by ourselves because we want to book a meeting and something that has more of a community-wide economic impact rather than just a boost to the buildings themselves. So we do manage the convention centers. We have chosen to have an operator. So we work with ASM Global, National, very well known by the meeting planners that we work with as a competent and confident organization to be operating these centers on our behalf. So we are a resource for residents, but we serve our residents through the visitor economy. And so I think a lot of people think we're there just to serve visitors. We're there to serve the residents, but we do it by serving our visitors. So we do drive economic and social value for residents, businesses, and visitors through tourism, as I just said. We reinvest visitor dollars to market our city. So Visit Anchorage's primary source of funding is the accommodations tax, the lodging tax. So when visitors come to Anchorage, they stay in a hotel, they stay in an Airbnb, at checkout, they pay a 12% tax. One-third of that tax is for tourism promotion. So that is where our funding comes from. One-third of that tax stays with the city in the general fund for them to spend supporting residents. And then the final third goes to support the two convention centers and pay off the bond from when the Dena'ina Center was built. We call it a virtuous cycle. If we do our job well and we get more visitors and they spend more money in hotels, then our budget goes up. If we see a decrease in visitation, a decrease in the bed tax, then our budget goes down along with the city's general fund and along with the funds to support these buildings. But it's a a really good formula. It is used in other communities, and it's been used here since 1975, the reinvestment of bed tax into tourism promotion. We also work to support businesses. We try to identify gaps in services that visitors are needing. We also try to provide training, whether it's marketing, whether it's social media, best practices for the tourism community here in Anchorage. Destination development. This is making sure that we have the infrastructure that's needed, that it's easy for visitors to enjoy our community. We're, like many destination marketing organizations, we're expanding our role in this capacity every year. And then finally, advocacy, and I think that that is one of the ways that AAA is very beneficial for our community, is on the advocacy front. I'll be honest, we consider ourselves a marketing organization, and we I think we serve ourselves well by not dipping into advocacy, but when it really is tourism focused, when it has a big impact on our community, we absolutely will. But we don't go out looking for things to advocate for, looking for issues to jump into. But we certainly know when it's something that will affect the industry, greatly affect the reputation of Anchorage, we will jump in with both feet. So we've got a few primary departments. I'm going to talk real quick, and I'm not going to read all of these slides, but our communications department, this is the department with the biggest budget, not necessarily the largest staff, but they are the ones who are putting advertising together, doing whether it's digital or print, managing our website. We get 1.6 million web visitors to anchorage.net, managing all of our social channels, and creating a digital asset library, video, images. We've had a 12-month video project going on, and we're just getting ready to start releasing some of the results of this work, and it's really exciting. We're really focused on storytelling, some of the unique characters, some of the unique things that we get to do here in Anchorage. And media hosting, we host travel writers and journalists from around the world in Anchorage all year round, wintertime, summertime. We also do fact-checking and provide images for their stories. So if you see, you know, a nice hit in Travel Zoo, we just got one in Travel and Leisure. Oftentimes, it will be our images that they're using. We'll have done the fact-checking, or we'll have actually written the story in many cases. A lot of this work you just don't see. That's one of the things about working at Visit Anchorage. You do a ton of work, and nobody in your community sees it. So just know that it's happening all the time, and we're very fortunate in the support that we get from our clients and VIPs from out of state. And then desk side editorial briefings. This past year, we had a chance to do an East Coast and a West Coast trip, and we got some really good hits out of that, and you'll be hearing more about one of them as 2025 approaches and moves through. This is just an example. When we were on the East Coast, we got a chance to do a morning show in Washington, D.C., and we are talking about the new service flights from the East Coast. So this is the type of thing, unless you happen to be in Washington, D.C. last May, you never would have known that we did this. But Kathy Dunn there on the left was with our communications department at the time, and she did a great job. We got 7-8 minutes in front of the Washington, D.C. crowd. So for our communications department, we're always doing new and next. We've got guest blogs. If you're not on Anchorage.net, I encourage you to check it out. It's for visitors, but also for locals. Neighborhood guide. We do a lot of publications. Some publications, again, we don't use in Anchorage, but we give to meeting planners outside. We give to travel advisors outside, and certainly share them with consumers, the visitors that we expect to see. We also do a lot of visitor research. In fact, we're wrapping up another 12-month project right now. Super excited to see the results. It's based on a Wi-Fi survey at the airport, and we're going to get a lot of really good, very current information out of it. our official guide to Anchorage. And I mentioned at the start that we've been doing this since 1975. If you can do math, we're going to be 50 next year, our golden anniversary, which is really exciting for us. It coincides with the 50th anniversary of the unification of the borough as well, or of the municipality from what was a borough and city. So a couple big anniversaries coming up. Let's see. So I mentioned research. This is just to give you an idea of kind of some of the research we do. So we certainly do economic impact research. We want to know about our visitors. And these are our current top four personas. These are the people who are most likely to be persuaded to take a trip to Anchorage. Used to be that the decision makers for an Alaska trip were female. But the adventure seeker is certainly higher than it was. It's a younger demographic than it was, say, even 10 years ago. In fact, the airport survey that I mentioned is really fascinating on seeing how the age ranges have really flipped. And it seems like every 5 years you can see a noticeable difference. But this is the kind of research that we love to dive into and figure out how do we reach these folks. The more specific, the better. And let's see. I talked about our communications department. We also have a very large sales department, very active sales department. While their budget is not as large, this is our largest staff group, and they work with travel advisors. They work with meeting planners. They are the road warriors. Like a couple of them I don't think I've seen for a month now because they are out there at trade shows. And it's the middle of December, and they are still traveling. It used to be about mid-November. The travel shut down, and it just isn't like that anymore. They are out there on the road, meeting with people at trade shows, meeting with consumers, meeting with meeting planners, doing training. We train a ton of travel. Last year, it was 10,000 travel agents we trained, whether in-person or online trainings, making sure that they have the tools to work with their clients, to tell their clients why they should come to Anchorage. We also work a lot with cruise advisors, telling them why their clients should spend a night or two before or after their cruise. So we also have a robust FAM program, familiarization, where, you know, you walk meeting planners down a road or you walk travel agents down a road and they're like, okay, you've kind of convinced us, but we really need, it's like kicking the tires on a new car, right? So several times a year, we bring groups of people up, and we show them every single ballroom in the city. They see more hotel rooms than you can imagine in a period of 4 days. And then we take them out on some adventures. We get them into our convention centers. We get them into the Performing Arts Center so that they really believe what we're telling them about our ability to host and serve their meeting well. So those are big lifts that we rely on businesses throughout the city to help us with. So in a traveler's mind, you may see if you do go to Anchorage.net, I'll tell you one more time, go to Anchorage.net, check it out. Urban and wild, it's the best of both. That is how we've positioned ourselves, and thank goodness that is actually how our travelers see us as well when we do focus groups. And this is a message that really resonates and tells them something about our city. They're also aware that we are the largest city. We've got a lot of hotel rooms. And that, you know, oftentimes in Anchorage, and certainly outside of Anchorage, but in Alaska, people will think of us as a gateway into the rest of Alaska. Our visitors, fortunately, don't see it that way. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that they see us as a getaway and not a gateway, because a getaway is much more economically valuable to us than we're going to fly in and then we're going to go out into our wilderness adventure. We certainly are the biggest push ever this year. We're on a calendar year, so we're just wrapping up our year. And biggest push ever for marketing and promotion. So our paid advertising efforts, all of the things we're doing to reach further and further into different markets. This fall has been really robust for that. Air capacity into Anchorage was good last year, and I understand it will be even more next year, not only from the carriers that we know and love, but we just heard that Condor is adding a fourth flight. They've been at 3 flights weekly during the summertime, so there's a 4th flight to bring visitors here, but also for Alaskans to enjoy. That's one of the great things about tourism, is that it's providing services that we all get to take advantage of, like a more robust flight schedule. Also, WestJet from is going to be coming in from Calgary. We're excited about that this summer. And, of course, we had some new markets last year, including JFK and San Diego. Those should return. So we're excited about strong and stable air capacity. Cross-Gulf cruise should be stable, so cruise lines coming into South Central, whether it's Seward or Whittier, should also be stable. That's certainly an important part of the tourism industry in Anchorage. We're seeing solid advance bookings with our tour operators and with the cruise lines. In fact, the cruise lines, the last I heard directly from them is, it's nuts. So it's nuts. Apparently, the demand is very, very strong for next summer, and they don't anticipate having to do maybe some of the discounting that sometimes they need to do to fill those ships. So that's very encouraging news for us. We are working in a very competitive marketplace. We've got places like Portland, Seattle, Spokane, San Antonio, many destinations in Colorado that have our budget beat by multiples. In fact, there's some hotels in Vegas that have our budget beat by multiples. So, and the competition just seems to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. It's a good challenge for us to overcome. And costs, I think there's just been this buzz around Anchorage about the costs of a hotel room. Costs have been high, which is an indication that demand is high. But I think that they're at least flattening out. I don't think we're going to continue to see the rate of growth that we have on those hotel rooms, which is great for us, particularly when we're talking to a meeting planner, someone who's really looking at every single penny very closely. As I said, enthusiasm for Alaska and Anchorage continues to be really high when our sales team is out on the road, especially at the consumer shows. They're just swamped, which is also good news for us. And our website keeps getting more and more hits. So there is definitely enthusiasm. And conventions, in 2023, we hit an all-time record, about $134 million in economic impact from meetings and conventions. For many years, we were between $90 million and $100 million, so that tells you what kind of growth we saw in 2023. 2024 will probably not meet that record, but it certainly is still well above where we were previously. So I think we'll be $115 million or so, which is not a bad thing for inviting people to our town and showing them a good time. So with that, I didn't look at my watch. I have no idea how I did, but I'm pleased to turn this over to Jenna Wright.
You're listening to Addressing Alaskans on Alaska Public Media. Today's program features the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce's annual report and updates from the Alliance to Activate Anchorage, a partnership of local economic organizations working to improve stability and grow the community in the city. Listening to Addressing Alaskans on Alaska Public Media. Today's program features the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce's annual report and updates from the Alliance to Activate Anchorage, a partnership of local economic organizations working to improve stability and grow the community in the city. Anchorage Economic Development Corporation President and CEO Jenna Wright speaks next.
Thank you so much, Julie, and Visit Anchorage for the incredible work that you do in our community and for our economy. So as Dan introduced me earlier, I'm Jenna Wright. I'm the president and CEO of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. I'm excited to be joined by my team over here. We have John and Ashley and Josh, as well as past chair Lon Wilson and current ex officio board member Mike Robbins. And then, of course, my predecessor and mentor, Mr. Bill Pop, as well. But he's leaving right when I start talking, it looks like. Yeah, I don't know how to read this, but okay. So I am excited today to just give you a high-level overview of the work that AEDC does. And in case you've not been introduced to us in the past, we were originally formed in 1987, so not quite as long as Visit Anchorage. But we were actually created by the municipality of Anchorage to help pull the city out of a recession that was occurring at the end of the late 1980s, caused by, you know, falling oil prices after a really intense period of economic boom. We were spun off just 2 years later in 1989 to be a private nonprofit existing to encourage growth and diversity in the Anchorage economy, promote a favorable business climate, and improve the standard of living of all Anchorage residents. And we're really proud to say we've been doing that for nearly four decades now. Our mission is to grow a prosperous, sustainable, and diverse economy. And we currently have four areas of focus under our strategic plan, Choose Anchorage. Those areas of focus are business vitality, talent, quality of place, and infrastructure. So it's my impression as I kind of analyze the history of AEDC that we try to be very nimble and flexible depending on what's going on in the economy, whether things are expanding or retracting, and the type of opportunities or headwinds that we're seeing in our city. And so under our current board of directors, we've adopted the Choose Anchorage plan as our strategic plan, and we focus on accomplishing our mission through economic research, business retention and expansion, workforce development, livability efforts under the quality of place pillar, and economic advocacy that makes it so it's an easier climate to accomplish the types of programs that we seek to deliver on. So one of our most visible and widely used services is our economic reporting. On a very consistent and predictable basis, we put out a whole swath of different reports for the business community, government officials, nonprofit leaders, and just interested community members. Here are some examples on the slide here. We put out a monthly employment report. We put out a quarterly consumer optimism index, a quarterly real-time job intelligence report that analyzes the job posting market using a proprietary tool that we have. We put out an annual business confidence report, an annual economic forecast report, and an annual cost of living index. We also do some specialty reports depending on what's interested or what is interesting to our membership or different things that are going on in the economy. We launch these every year at one of our two biannual luncheons that we host in January and August, and then we make them available to the rest of the public for free on our website. So next, the core of what we do is really business retention and expansion. Nearly everything that we do outside of this is the goal of supporting and expanding and retaining Anchorage-based businesses. And this could be from expansion and investments that are coming from out of state into Anchorage because people want to relocate or expand their operations or just start a business in Anchorage because they see an opportunity here. But it also comes from the homegrown entrepreneurship ecosystem that we have. Really, the goal is to see any new businesses of any kind open in Anchorage, and then those that are currently open to stay open. And this is kind of the less exciting aspect of our work, and it definitely goes under the radar. But in some ways, it's more important to really lean into the retention aspect of the work that we do than on the expansion piece. A lot of our work is centered around creating an environment that's attractive to businesses so that we can accomplish our goal of expanding this business base. So as an example, in 2024, we advocated for increased housing units, education funding, a public investment strategy known as Project Anchorage, critical infrastructure, whether that be the modernization of the Port of Alaska or the expansion of the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport, livability efforts to make our city a place that is attractive to both talent and businesses, as well as different economic development policy initiatives. And because talent is such a critical need for businesses, and because we find ourselves in this national competition for talent, over the last few years, our efforts have largely been focused on making a place where talent wants to be as we find ourselves in this serious nationwide competition with our demographic headwinds that we're facing and unique to Alaska, our net out-migration issue. So recently, we focused a lot of our efforts on both design designing and implementing the Academies of Anchorage initiative at the Anchorage School District. This is going to be, or has been rolled out to all 8 comprehensive high schools this year, and it's an initiative that will prepare students to be college, career, and life ready. And from my perspective, I think this this program really serves as an important retention tool, because what it's creating is it's creating a pipeline for Anchorage students who, from a very young age, can get plugged into the business community in Anchorage, so that when they it's time for them to graduate and either go directly into the workforce or to go into post-secondary and then onto an employer, they have that pipeline because they have been plugged in with the business community since their freshman year. And so I think this is a really, really important piece for the retention of our young people here in Anchorage that we need so bad. Another thing that is a low-hanging fruit, so to speak, is the incredible veteran workforce that we have. Earlier this year, we partnered with the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce and the Rasmussen Foundation to put together a forum on ways that we can do a better job as a city retaining the veteran workforce that we have. These are people that already live in Anchorage. They know what it's like. Hopefully, they've fallen in love with it during their time in service. And so, again, it's a lot easier to keep the talent that you do have than trying to attract from outside. And so those are a couple of things that we're doing in workforce. But lastly, you know, placemaking and livability. I talked earlier about how we're in this national competition for workforce, and folks are looking all over and they're saying, where do I want to live based on lifestyle factors? And then they're choosing a job from there. And so our charge as a city is to make Anchorage a place worth choosing, which is, of course, our strategic plan, Choose Anchorage. And so over the years, AEDC has done different iterations of this, starting back in 2010 with the Live Work Play initiative. The goal was to make Anchorage the number one city, mid-sized city in America to live, work, and play. We brought Roger Brooks up here, who secret shopped us from the perspective of a potential visitor, investor, and resident. And he gave us a whole swath of recommendations that we should be accomplishing as a city to make ourselves more attractive. Both of those recommendations were wrapped up into the Choose Anchorage strategic plan. Because once the pandemic hit and just threw our economy into a total tailspin, one of the things that we realized is that we needed to expand our focus beyond just livability. And so that's where we bring in business vitality, talent workforce development, and infrastructure, along with quality of place and continuing to work on all of the really important livability efforts that we had done in years past. And finally, you know, Project Anchorage is something that I have presented to the Chamber of Commerce on in the past, but this is really our public investment strategy that we're working on right now to make Anchorage a more attractive place for both business and talent. And it's one of the most recent projects that the AAA group has really come behind and brought our support together to try to get this thing across the finish line. And I can guarantee you AEDC could not have done it without the support of the AAA. And so I think it's a great project to end on as the success of our partnership. So with that, I will pass it over to Kathleen, who I think is going to be standing in for our friend Radhika, who could not be here ahead of the holidays. But thank you so much, and happy holidays to you all.
Thank you, Jenna. Yes, so much good work at AEDC. Yes, as mentioned, unfortunately, Radhika Krishna, the Executive Director of the Anchorage Downtown Partnership, could not be here today. As I'm reading her notes, that organization, nonprofit, was founded in 1995. Inadvertently, we did present all the organization's oldest to youngest. The Anchorage Chamber, I didn't mention, was founded in 1915, although the Articles of Incorporation are from like 1948. But anyway, the Anchorage Downtown Partnership is really a pivotal part of our organization, part of our community. They're charged with the management of Alaska's only business improvement district, for now, I think, and then the Downtown Improvement District, which was founded a few years later. ADP's purpose is to improve the cleanliness, attractiveness, marketability, and safety of downtown Anchorage. One of the main ways they do that is through supplemental public services. There we go. Within downtown. They have around 20 staff, and 15 are ADP's ambassadors. They spend all day every day keeping downtown sidewalks clear of trash, shoveling, or plowing snow, and responding to any other help that downtown businesses need, like graffiti removal or power washing. they definitely do the sidewalk snow removal for downtown. I know I typically have a great experience trying to walk around. Like I try and walk to Denino and make it Mondays, and generally the sidewalks are as great as they can be. They do a fantastic job. They also run a lot of free, ADP does, community events in downtown, including Live After Five, Summer Solstice Celebration, and New Year's Eve. The last event of the year coming up in just a few weeks is New Year's Eve. Please join ADP December 31st for a fireworks show, live music by H3, and much more. They did also just have their annual meeting, and part of that, they shared some of the business and development news taking place downtown in 2024. While downtown had some legacy businesses retire in 2024, there were also about 10 new retail-facing businesses that opened downtown. On top of that, there were some new buildings that have opened. Can't talk about new businesses downtown without talking about Santos, which moved their offices to 601 West 5th Building. It's a very big deal for downtown economy. Over 200 staff work in that office, so definitely new lifeblood in that part of the community. That's not the only building open downtown this year. Block 96 also became the first new market rate residential property in downtown that's opened in 15 years through a partnership between Debenham LLC and ACDA. There are also more than five other buildings and major renovations in progress right now, including Block 41, Downtown Edge Mixed Use Project, Aviator, Hilton, Turnigan Arms Building, Robert Stone Law Office on Fifth Avenue, and the Alaska Black Caucuses Equity Center is nearing completion. So that's some of what's happening downtown in 2024 and 2025. That's it for ADP.
All right. Thank you very, very much. We only have 2 minutes left. I didn't get any audience questions. So the one that I wrote down was to Julie. You maybe know this, maybe you don't. You mentioned the bond to pay off the Denina Center. Do we know what the current status is, like how much is left and when it should be anticipated to be paid off?
Is this on?
Does anybody know?
I know half the answer for sure. And I have an estimate on the other half. So 2035 is when they will be paid off. They were initially sold in 2006, and then in 2015 we refinanced and actually got a much better deal, saved a lot of money. And right now, I think it's still it's a pretty high amount. It's like $90 million, but it is scheduled to be finished in 2035. The initial bond sale was $109 million. Gotcha. And so we paid a lot of interest so far, and now we're working into the principal. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Thanks again, Kathleen, Jenna, and Julie. Can we give our presenters a great round of applause there?
Thanks for joining us today for Addressing Alaskans. Today's program featured the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce's annual report and updates from the Alliance to Activate Anchorage. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ammon Swenson. Thanks for listening.
Addressing Alaskans is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music is by Patrick Lee. The views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, go to our website at alaskapublic.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.